Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
So I think in terms of your journey so far, it's important to mention like the injuries, because so far you're still young, but people, I don't think, see like the mental side of it in terms of going through it and stuff like that. So talk to us about that.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. I'm with my right hand man, Dej.
How you doing, bro? I'm good. Happy to be here as usual. We've got a young striker in the building that we're looking forward to, like, speaking about his career, because it's very interesting so far, and I think he's still at the start of his journey. So, yeah, it's going to be a good chat.
Definitely. Obviously, we had a little sort of technical beforehand, but obviously we're happy to get everything sorted in the last second. Very unprofessional from us, but yeah, we'll leave it there. Before we introduce our guests, I just want to plug the socials. Follow our TikTok at TVGpod, our Twitter at podcast_TVG, and our Instagram at pod_TVG. Leave a like, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and comment below for the algorithm, because as you comment, that helps us get, you know, bigger, better guests in the future. We are delighted to announce we are joined with Norwich centre-forward, Adam Eder.
Welcome. Thank you, bro, man. I know it's a bit of a drive coming down, so we appreciate you taking the time to come onto the pod.
Thank you for having me.
No, we appreciate it. Yeah, man, so talk to us about this season.
It's been some ups and downs this season, I think. Probably not had the best of starts to the season, not what we would have wanted. We've got a new manager now that come in January time, and since then we've been doing a lot better, but there's still a long way to go, and obviously our aim is to get promoted this season, and that's what we're aiming for, to do the best we can and push for that.
Yeah, because Norwich are a team that sort of, over recent years, is an up-down Premier League, Championship, Premier League. This season has not been as plain sailing as how it's been recently when you've been in the Championship. And as you mentioned, you've had a managerial change. So how has the environment of the club been?
To be fair, the environment has actually been okay. You know, I think when you're losing games, it's not going to be nice around the training ground and things like that. But it's not... We've been in situations like this before. We know what's to come. So I think all the lads are on board with what we need to do, and we've got a plan that we need to go and look forward to. And we're all aiming towards the same goal at the end of the day. We want to get back in the Premier League, and that's the big ambition for the season.
Because I know you had a managerial change. Dean Smith obviously went on a poor run of results, and I know he sort of questioned the fans, saying that it's probably at the moment better to play away than at home, and that obviously ended in sort of a dismissal. But in terms of his impact on you, how would you say he helped you?
Yeah, he helped me a lot. I think Dean showed a lot of faith in me. I think probably this time last year, in February time, he started me in Premier League, and I had a run of games where I was growing confidence and scored my first Premier League goal under him, and that's when I felt like I was at my best. And unfortunately, that period I managed to get injured. But to Dean and all his staff, they believed in me and they showed a lot of faith, which is so good for me. I think a player like me needs a lot of confidence, and he made me believe that. So all credit to him. He was great to work with, and it was sad to see him go, but
it's football
changes so quick, as you know. So these things happen. You just have to move on from it, and hopefully you can get a job soon.
So from a personal standpoint, how do you sort of like assess your season so far?
For me, it's quite a weird one, because I've never really been in a situation where I've had such a long-term injury. And especially when I got injured first, tore my meniscus, it was strange because I didn't really know what to do recovery-wise, or I didn't do it to the best of what I should have done, I think.
Your recovery?
My recovery, I think.
Okay, so in terms of...
In terms of, like, I would come into training, like, probably not do enough gym work, not look after my knee as much as what I didn't think it was as serious as what I thought it was. You know, and especially I thought, I'm 21 years of age, my knee is going to recover fine. Yeah. Like everyone says, you're going to recover. So then I came back from that, and on the last session before I met up with the squad, I slipped and done it again.
Ooh.
And when I found out I had to get surgery the second time, the surgeon did say to me, like, this can be really serious if you don't cop on. So that's when it really hit me, like, well, I need to really work out to get my knee back sorted to what it was. So that probably took a big impact on me this season. And it's probably changed a lot of things for me in terms of nutrition, sleeping, training, recovery. I think... before, my nutrition probably wasn't the best.
Tell us, what were you eating before? Oh, you don't want to go into that.
No, it wasn't like my nutrition wasn't bad, but I wouldn't like look into it as much as what I do now. Like if someone offered me chocolate, I'm going to eat it. Like I'm not turning it down. Even if I had a game the next day, like I ain't turning down anything. But now, it was so important for my recovery to get that nutrition right. So it did make me realise this does help the body a lot, and even things with sleep. I used to go to bed at all sorts of hours in the night.
What were you doing, playing games or watching boxing?
There's so many little things that you need to do to make your body right, and for me, it's all learning as well. I am still young, and you do need these things to happen to understand what to do in the future, and I think that had a big impact on me this season, and well, I'm enjoying football again now, so that's good.
So I think in terms of your journey so far, it's important to mention like the injuries, because so far you're still young, but people, I don't think, see like the mental side of it in terms of going through it and stuff like that. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's really tough. I think when I got injured first, and they say, oh, it's 4 or 5 months, in the back of your head you're thinking 4 or 5 months ain't that long, that you'll get through it easy. And it's probably the first 3 weeks to a month where you think this is going to go quick, and then it really hits you where you're in the gym and you see all the boys training, winning games is a big thing, knowing that you could be scoring goals and having fun with all your teammates. It's really tough. And when you're injured, there is a lot of times where you do have setbacks when you're injured, and people don't see that. Like, you might get told, yeah, you could be back playing in 3 months, but something doesn't go quite as right as what you hoped it would have. So it might get pushed back to 4 months that you're out. So there's a lot of little things in there where mentally it's challenging, but that's where you just have to be strong and try and get through it.
So, like, what would you say was, like, the toughest period? Because we always, like, speak to footballers all the time, and this platform is a football podcast, but it's also educational in terms of advice for young players or people that want to be footballers in the future. So, in terms of, like, the mental side, because we spoke to a player in Ukraine called Viv Solomon, and it was, like, he had a long-term injury. And at the peak of that injury, he didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to get out of bed even or take a shower, for example. So in terms of like the toughest period of that recovery, what did it entail? Like, what were you going through?
It's probably a lot of things, to be honest. Like you said there, I didn't want to get out of bed. I did not want to go training because I was going into training, I was doing the same things every single day. And you hear the same things every day. All your teammates, obviously they're looking out for you, but how's your knee? How's this? It's the same things you're hearing all the time. So it's like you get sick of doing the same thing all the time, and you can't do much. You're so restricted to do anything that you have to do certain things in the gym, and you have to do certain things with the physios that you don't want to do, but you have to. It's just very repetitive, and that's quite tough in your head. And I literally did not want to go training. And that was the main thing. I used to come in training so late, like I did not want to come in. When I got injured a second time, I kind of just said to myself, look, it's going to be, I've been through it before, I know it's going to be tough, but you just have to get through it. And to be fair, it was a lot easier with my second injury because I knew how to deal with certain things. And I kind of made myself a bit happier. You know, that it's not the end of the world getting injured. It happens to every footballer. So there are a lot of tough times, but you can get to it. You know, you can speak to so many people. That's what I did. I spoke to a lot of people on my second injury. Just how to deal with things. And like I said before, with nutrition, that's what I kind of said, look, I'm going to focus a lot on my nutrition. And it really did help because I would go home and I would try cook a new meal. And it's just, it gives you lots of different things to do. Once you focus yourself on one thing, and I'm cooking for fun, but it's also benefit.
It's that therapy as well. So yeah,
it's quite good, and you do learn a lot of things when you're injured, and you know, like, these things do happen.
On to much more sort of positive things. Earlier on this year, I think at the back end of last year, you signed a new contract until 2028. Talk to us about that, because it's rare to see clubs maybe back a player when they're injured, especially with such a long-term contract. Yeah. So, like, what's your thoughts on that?
No, obviously, I was so excited. It's like you said, it's rare for clubs to do that. And to be fair to Norwich, they're such a family club. You know, they do show a lot of faith in me ever since I was such a young age. I was quite surprised, not surprised, but it was like a big shock to me that they offered it, but I knew in the back of my head I worked really hard for it. Even though I wasn't training and playing, I was working hard in the gym all the time, and I was doing everything right to try and get myself back to where I was. And they do reward you with things like that. So I was very grateful for them to offer me that. And for them to show a lot of faith in me like that, especially because I was injured, is unbelievable to me. And it shows that they truly do believe in me.
And what does the football club mean to you? From a personal sort of perspective?
It means a lot, obviously. I come here when I was 15, I was coming back and forth on trial, and moved over full-time when I was 16, so Norwich is all I know, to be fair, really. I haven't been anywhere else, and I know I'm friends with all the staff, I know everyone in there, all my teammates are so nice, and even like fans in Norwich, like I know some fans in Norwich that I get on well with. So, I mean, it's such a lovely club, and it reminds me a lot of back home. You know, it's quite similar to back home, and my family love Norwich, so it, not just the club is great, the whole area is great, so I'm loving it.
Yeah, so we want to talk about this season at the current moment. You started 5 games in a row. Norwich is sort of building some momentum. I know on the weekend there was that, you know, classical 3-2 win away at Millwall, and one of your teammates scored a banger, you know, that was a crazy goal. So talk to us about how you're feeling now in terms of getting over the injuries.
My main goal was to try and get as much minutes as I could after the injuries, whether I started or not. I just wanted to play football again. So to start the last 5 games now is unbelievable for me. At the end of the day, I just want to play football, so this period right now is really good for us. You know, I think we've won the last 4 and drew 1. So just have to keep this run going, and There's what, 11 games left to go.
Yeah.
Like I said, our goal is to try and get promoted, whether that's due to playoffs or automatic. It's to be back in the Premier League, so we're really pushing for that now.
So what's the goal for you in terms of playing? Is it just to get the minutes, or are you thinking, I need to get X amount of goals, is it just getting used to like playing positionally, feeling that physical output, that physical load of the 90 minutes?
I think I set myself little targets each time. Obviously, I don't want to set just one goal, because if you do reach that goal, what you're meant to be after. You know, I think for me, it was first, try to get back training with the boys, try maybe get on the bench, get some minutes, and start games. And then, for me, I always said, once I'm playing games and I get one goal, I know I'm going to carry on getting more. But I just try and set little targets all the time. And like, I'm starting now, but who knows, next week I might be on the bench. And that's just how it is. Once I'm getting minutes and being back with the boys, at the end of the day, that's all I want to do. But no, it's great for me to be starting games, you know. It's, like I said before, I'm a confident player. I need that confidence boost to try and be the best I can be, and with playing games that comes. And I feel like my performances have been good, and I just need to build on that and keep on going.
And how would you assess David Wagner's sort of management? Because, you know, in the modern game, you always hear these managers come in, they give all the talk, they give all the gab, they come in, and we're going to do this, and then results don't go their way. But it seems like he's almost like steadied the ship, and you guys on a promotion sort of push. So how would you assess his impact so far?
He's had a big impact, to be fair. I think when he came in, he held a big meeting with everyone, not just the players, all the staff. And he said, right, this is what we're going to do as a club, not just us players. As a club, this is what we need to do. These are the standards we need to set. And I think from that moment, everyone knew, right, we need to be on board here because we do want to get promoted. And on the training pitch, his tactics are all about us. You know, I think we don't really focus too much on the other teams, and I think that helps us a lot. Once we focus on ourselves, we've only got ourselves to blame if we lose again at the end of the day. So he's well respected from everyone, you know. So he made a big impact on us this season.
So can you go into that in a bit more detail, just for the listener? So in terms of you prepare games all about you, like, what do you mean by that?
So like I said, the meetings before the games, before we would have really focused on what the other teams were planning to do to us and not really focused much on what we're going to do to them. But with him, it's more, we'll look at other teams and focus on where we can exploit them and where we're going to score goals and whatnot, you know. So I think it gives us a lot of belief in, right, we can go and do this, this and this, instead of us worrying what they're going to do to us. So I mean, it gives us a lot of belief in the games to go and do what we plan to do.
Yeah, because when I'm listening to David Wagner talk about you, he sees you almost like a project. It's like, you know, you've got the ability to be whatever you want. You've got all the raw abilities in terms of speed, power, technical. So when he talks about you can be whatever you want to be, what do you want to be?
Obviously, I want to be the best I can be. I want to play in the Premier League week in, week out. I want to play in the Champions League. I want to be a starter for my country. You know, I want to do everything. But obviously, at the end of the day, it's down to me. Everyone can say anything to me, but it's down to me to put in the hard work and actually go and showcase it, you know. But it's a bit the boss. He showed a lot of faith in me, and he's worked hard on me. You know, I have one-on-one meetings with him and the assistant about things I need to improve on and things that I'm doing well that I need to keep on doing. And I've never really had that before. So just little details he gives me that will help me so much. So that was really great, wasn't it?
Because against Millwall, I noticed you were playing out on the left.
Mm.
So in terms of that, how are you finding that? And what sort of skills and are you developing as you're playing out in that position?
You know, I actually don't mind playing on the wing. Because I can cut into my right and try and shoot. But obviously it's a different role to being as a striker. But I think that the tactics are the same, you know. There's not much different. You might have to defend a bit more than what you are as a striker, but to be fair, he tells us go and showcase what we're good at, you know, go and take a man on 1v1 and go sprint past someone. It's not, there's nothing different with being on the wing and being up top. It's just, I'm more essentially as a striker and I'm wider on the wing. That's the only difference with it, isn't it?
Yeah, because I know David Wagner, he's like a disciple of Jurgen Klopp. And it kind of reminds me of Darwin Nunes, because I know he's maybe a similar profile of player. He's like a project as well, as Jurgen Klopp always says, that listen, this boy needs time, kind of thing. Do you watch Darwin Nunes and maybe see a bit of similarities? Or
what a player.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't really, to be fair.
Okay.
I just focus on myself at the end of the day. Obviously, there's the player that I like most probably is Lukaku.
Okay, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Lukaku, Drogba, things like that. I love players like that. And I see a lot of myself in Lukaku, the way he likes pinning defenders and trying to bully people about. that's what I like trying to do. You know, I don't really watch them all the time and try and play exactly like
them.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
But I'll try and maybe base one or two things of my game that he's good at. But I want to be me and I want to do what I'm good at, and that's all it is at the end of the day.
So do you almost get into like battles with the centre back? Because I think earlier this season we saw like Haaland with, what was it, Ben Godfrey getting into a war of words. And all of does that still happen quite frequently, or is that something that just rarely happens? Have you ever had one of those ones?
I've been sent off 2 years ago, yeah, for that. But it's quite rare, you know. I think you do have rivalries with some people. There's some centre halves that want to get in your head, but I'm quite a chill guy, to be fair, so I don't really give much back to him. I think obviously I want to try and bully them when I'm on the ball and try and score goals, but I don't really speak that much when I'm playing. Unless someone says something to me, I'm gonna say something back, but I'm not that much into that.
Because like recently we've seen, I would say, the rise of the big sort of striker. Before, like Peter Crouches and stuff like that, it was out of fashion. But now you're seeing, as I said, Haaland, Nunes, Ramos, Portugal, yourself, you're in a similar sort of elk to that. So how does that make you feel in terms of your prospects getting to the top of the game, that clubs want to invest in, like, not target men, but, you know, that sort of profile?
Yeah, I think, as you know, football changes all the time and different managers want different players for different positions, you know. And I think, I don't know if it's just there's a lot of tall strikers that people want to go for. I think it's how you play at the end of the day, you know. You could be a tiny striker but scoring goals week in, week out. I think it's just, at the end of the day, that's your job, to score goals. So I think it does depend on what the manager wants. He might want a tall striker to hold up a ball to play for another striker, could have too. So, like I said, for me, I just want to play as many minutes and score as many goals as I can, and who knows what can happen.
So in terms of Norwich, Timu Pukki, his contract's running out at the end of the season, and you've obviously been given a long-term contract. Has the talk behind the scenes almost been like, Adam, we see you as like a long-term number nine?
I don't think, like, ever since a young age, I think they had a plan for me was to be the number nine eventually, rather than now, or if Timu leaves, no one knows when. I think for me, I just need to be patient and wait for my chance. And Timu's been great for the club, you know. He's the top goal scorer of the Championship a couple of years ago. He scored so many goals, so I can't really complain when you have a striker like that ahead of you. And also, Josh Sargent is down. He's been scoring loads of goals, so you just have to be patient, I think, especially with the position I'm in, you know. Once I get my chance, and I just need to take the opportunity. And if I play ahead of him. If not, I keep working hard and training, because we're all fighting for the same spot and we all get on really well. And if Timu is scoring goals, he's scoring goals for the team, and that will help us get promoted. So we're all happy at the end of the day.
And how do you deal with the periods where you're not necessarily like scoring goals, and it's almost like fan criticism saying, oh, Adam shouldn't be starting, or Timo shouldn't be starting because he hasn't scored in X amount of games. How do you sort of like deal with that sort of criticism?
I did struggle with that a bit because you go on Twitter and you see everything, you know. So I struggled with
oh,
that.
Oh, so you're active Twitter.
Like, you see, I wouldn't like check it to see what people are saying, but it comes up. Like you're bound to see something. You might have the best game and you see one bad comment in it. It wrecks with your head, you know. But I've kind of just learned if I'm playing well and I don't score, then what can I do? If my team's winning and I don't score, then I'm happy at the end of the day. Even if someone said, have a bad game, if we've won the game, then what's the problem, you know? And it can be tough, you know. Everyone's going to have something to say on social media or whatnot. It is tough to deal with, but I think you just get to a period where you don't care anymore and you just focus on yourself and the team and doing the best you can, because we are human at the end of the day. We're going to have bad games. You'll have periods where you don't score for a long time, and it's what can you do about it? It's you're trying to do the best you can. I don't go in to training and games to play bad on purpose, you know. I'm doing the best I can, and look, it happens. That's football. You just have to get on with it, and that's something that I've learned, is all this criticism is always going to be there for the rest of my career, and I can't do nothing about that, and I just have to carry on doing what I'm doing.
And it's important to remember in your case that it's context. You've been injured for a long time. Now you're getting back into the swing of things. So if I was to ask you today in terms of a percentage, like how fit would you say you are in terms of how you're feeling on the football pitch?
To be fair, I feel 100% now. You know, even the conditioning, I feel the best I've ever been. And that's probably down to the fact of how I rehabbed myself on the second injury. You know, my nutrition, my sleep, everything that I've done then got me into good habits now. So that has helped me a lot come back from injury. And even now, I probably wasn't the fittest person even before my injury last year. I wouldn't be good at pre-season.
So how are you in the bleed test? Were you last?
I haven't done that though. I don't know. But I feel really good, to be fair. You know, I think we had, was it 3 games in 9 days or something last week, and we was quite worried that my knee would blow up then, but it's been really good since, and I was quite surprised it stayed that way. So to me, that shows my body's fit and healthy, and I can play games and play 90 minutes. It's probably the most 90 minutes I've ever played in my career in such a consistent period. So I'm feeling happy and healthy.
So in terms of the knee injury, is it like something that's going to have to be managed throughout your career, or is it...
Probably. It's quite tough now, because when I came back in December and I've played every game since, so I haven't had a break where I can let my knee relax and see how it is. The only time I'm going to know that is in the summer, but I think I'm always going to have to look after the knee. It's such a big injury. It's always going to be in my mind, and I can't just slack off and forget that this happened. I need to take care of it and still do some work in the gym and just look after games, make sure I recover well. So it will always be there, but it happens. These things do happen.
And how does it feel having like the confidence from the manager? Because, you know, we speak to a lot of players behind the scenes and they'll be like, oh, my head's gone, manager doesn't believe in me. So having that belief in the manager, how has that propelled your game?
Yeah, it's really good. Obviously, it makes you really confident that you know the manager wants you to play. And I've had lots of meetings with the manager, and even if I don't play, I still know that I'm in the back of his head. I come on at 68 minutes to try and score a goal and whatnot. I still know the manager thinks a lot of me, whether that's starting or not starting. So it does give me a lot of confidence that I can go out there and he knows that I'm going to try and do something for him. So he's been great with me, and that's all the staff he's put in. They've really shown a lot of faith in me with, like I said, all these meetings that I have and watching clips of myself and what I can do better and improve on, just to help my game in the smallest way and improve me on the team. So they've been great.
So ever since you broke into the first team, in terms of your trajectory, so are you on track for what you set out, or has it been, where would you sort of, so if I'd said there's a 18-year-old, where do you imagine yourself at 22 in terms of your professional career. What would you say in terms of that?
It's quite difficult, to be fair. I think when you're younger, you always want to play at the top, you know. And you don't really I never would have thought I would have got such a bad injury. You know, I think there was a period where I was going up, and I scored a hat-trick. I started in Old Trafford. Everything was on the rise, and then you do have a thought I might not play a good game. And that's when I see all the fans criticise me, and I'm thinking, what was going on? I was the next star here, and now I'm hated. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs. I think, like I said, I don't focus too much on where I want to get to. I think it's just once I train hard and play well, then I'm going to get to where I can get to, and that's the best I can be, you know. I don't think I want to force myself to get somewhere. I think if I put in the work, I'll get to the top.
So talk to us about how you're feeling in those moments, like when you were starting at Old Trafford, you know, scoring the hat-trick away at Preston. Like, what was it like being Adam Eder?
The hat-trick was quite weird because I think at the time, I think I met with Doncaster and Lincoln like the week before that. So
in terms of a loan?
A loan move. Okay. So I was about to go on loan, and it was only like 2 days before the Preston game. Timu, and at the time it was Josip Drimic, got injured. And I was the only other striker available. So I kind of knew in the back of my head I was going to start this Preston game. So eventually we found out the team I was starting, and I still got told, like, I'm going to go on loan after the game. So started the game, scored a hat-trick. And then when we came in after the game, they said I'm not going alone anymore. So I was like, it was really weird for me, because I didn't know what was going on. And then obviously we played United the week after, and I started in Old Trafford, and it was just like, what is going on? Like, my life has gone from
to Old Trafford.
Exactly, like, it just changed so quick. And people used to say all the time, like, football can change really quick, and I never really had that
experience
yet. And then that was the first time where I was like, wow, like, how can I be going from to go on loan to starting in Old Trafford and staying with the first team, you know? And ever since then, I've stayed in the first team, and there has been a lot of ups and there has been a lot of downs. Like, we've got promoted, you know, that was a great experience for me, and being relegated. So
if you had to compare both of those feelings, like, how is it? Do you dwell on the promotion longer or the relegation?
It's difficult, you know. It's a difficult question. I think obviously when you get it was difficult for us, because when we was getting promoted, it was like we still had like 7 games left and it was partying. we already knew we was like going up. It was clear. And then it was like the same at relegation, you know. There gets to a period where you start to think, right, we're going to get relegated. So it's quite tough. And I think they wear themselves out, because when you get promoted, there's a stage where you kind of forget about promotion and you go about your whiffs. But when you get relegated, that might last 2 weeks during the season. You forget it in the summer, and you're back to working in pre-season again. So obviously it's such a high when you get promoted, and it's crap when you get relegated, but that's just the way it is, and it is difficult, but you just have to keep on going.
And now, I just wanted to say, speaking of promotion, obviously you mentioned it earlier in regards to potentially trying to get automatic promotion, but are you almost like looking at the league and thinking, you know what, Burnley, that's gone? Is it Sheffield? Are you looking at the league from Norwich to Sheffield United? Or
to be fair, we just look at it as if we want to get as much points as we can. Like, I couldn't tell you how much points Sheffield are on. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
It's 12 points between you two at the moment.
Like, we need to win as many games as we can at the end of the day. And if we catch Sheffield, we catch Burnley, who knows? The Championship is mad, you know. So I think we just need to focus on ourselves and do the best we can, and hopefully we do get promoted.
So, like, earlier on in your career, knowing that the youth teams, you were knocking in goals, and there was a period around when Jose Mourinho was manager of Manchester United, and there was a lot of reported interest. Did that actually get to you? Okay.
I don't know where that came from. I don't know.
Oh, you've seen it though.
Of course I've seen it. I don't know how it came about, but like nothing came back to me with that.
Okay, so in terms of any other teams in the Premier League, like was there talks of you going there or?
Never really, to be fair, like I don't know if there's been talks or not. I've always wanted to do my bit at Norwich, and I haven't played many games, I haven't scored many goals in the first team, and I think I want to get to a period where I'm confident where I'm going to be starting every week, and I know that I can score week in, week out. I want to get to that period before I even think of moving club. You know, Norwich is really good for me right now. I'm developing a lot there. I'm still really young. I've got a lot to learn, so it's the perfect club for me right now.
And take us back to the very, very beginning. When did you know you had that spark for football?
I don't know, because I actually started playing football in London when I was about four, I think, because I lived in London when I was a kid. So I think I was about four. My mum put me in with the under sevens, and I did not want to go. I still remember screaming, crying. Like, I don't know. I didn't like football when I was a kid. I didn't like it.
So what was your sport? Did you have a sport or a hobby? Or?
No, I was just chilling. I was still really young, obviously. I just remember my first day on football. I did not want to go. I was probably about, when did I move back to Ireland? Probably six or seven. I moved back to Ireland. Probably six, and I joined the local team. And ever since then, from that moment I joined in Ireland, I love football. And it was probably when I turned around 11, 12, when I really knew that I had the potential to go to England. You hear, when you're a kid, you hear loads of people say, "Oh, you can go to England," but when you get to about 11, 12, that's when you kind of know, right, I've actually got a chance. Because I think at the time I was doing running, long jump, swimming.
So you were born to be an athlete, basically.
That was probably the age where I thought, right, I need to quit everything and focus on football. So I was probably around, I could have been 12, 13, where I quit everything and probably stuck with football. And I think that's when I kind of knew I've got the ability to move abroad and try and be a professional footballer.
So how did the opportunity to move from Ireland to Norwich come about? Were there sort of interest from several different clubs, or was it just Norwich?
At the time, like back in Ireland, there's a tournament when you're under 14s, and that's where you, if you play that tournament, that's when you know all the clubs are going to be watching. So I remember just before the tournament, I was getting told, this club's watching me, this club, all this. So I played the tournament, and I had a coach at the time that said, only two clubs came in for me. It was Aston Villa and Sunderland at the time. And I was so confused to why no other club came in when everyone was telling me other clubs are looking at me. So for about a year, I was going back and forth to Aston Villa, and I was about to sign there. And then Norwich came in.
What age was that?
Around? It was probably 14, 15. Yeah, I was going back and forth every 2 weeks to Aston Villa. I was probably for about a year. And then there's a scout in Dublin that obviously seen me and brought me to Norwich. And I think I pre-signed at Norwich when I was 15. And at the time, he played the Victory Shield.
Oh, yeah, England, Ireland, Wales, and yeah, I remember that.
So because I pre-signed at Norwich, but when I played for Ireland, it still said my local team. That's who I played for. So then I had like Arsenal, United, City, Chelsea all come in for me. But they thought I signed for Aston Villa, but I never told no one I signed for Aston Villa. And then obviously I couldn't even go on trial with these clubs because I pre-signed with Norwich. So it was difficult, but it turned out right.
Nice one.
Wow.
Yeah, no, you've been fantastic, and you've spoken like a seasoned pro. Dej, do you have any more?
In terms of Ireland, I think Ireland's a big sort of thing that we need to talk about. Stephen Kenny. Yeah. I know in his first game in charge, you were the number nine, and he's someone that's, you know, got big hopes for you. So how do you see that Ireland situation?
No, I love it. I love it in Ireland. I think every time there's a camp, I'm buzzing to go. Obviously, I had Stephen at under-21s, and I played my first game. I started the first under-21 campaign under Stephen and scored some goals with him. And he's been great towards me, showed a lot of faith in me. I haven't played many games at Norwich, but every time I went with Ireland, I would nearly start every game. So I know Stephen's got a lot of belief in me, and all the staff there and the boys there are fantastic. You know, we've got such a great team. I think we've got a young team, but the senior boys there help us a lot. I think in years to come, we'll have a really good team.
So in terms of the supporters, how are you treated by Ireland fans?
They're good, they're crazy. You know, I love playing in the Aviva is amazing because the fans are unbelievable. You know, they're non-stop the whole game, but even after games, they're so good. You know, there's Irish people everywhere as well, so you always bump into someone. But the fans are unbelievable. I love everything about going to Ireland, even just meeting up with the boys. It's different to Norwich, you know. I don't see the lads very so often, maybe 3 or 4 times a year that I see all these lads, so it's so good meeting up with them.
So in terms of last year, Norwich, I want to talk about some of your teammates. Max Ahrens, he just recently celebrated, I think, over 200 games at such a young age. How is he? Because he's someone that's always linked with Premier League clubs. You see Todd leave, you see Bundia leave, Ben Godfrey. But he's almost Jamal Lewis. But he's always like the odd one left out. You have Arsenal linked, this and that. Mm. And do you think he's got the potential to get to the top of the game? No disrespect to Norwich, obviously.
No, 100%. I think he's got, 200 appearances for Norwich by the age 23. I think that's crazy. Obviously, he gets linked to a lot of clubs, and that's going to happen. He's playing week in, week out for Norwich. And I do think Max will get to the top. I don't know when, because he has been patient. He probably could have had times where he could have left, but he stuck to his guns and stayed at Norwich to maybe, I don't know, try and get better, try and get a better club. I'm not sure the reason, but he's been great for us every single year he's played, and I don't think I've ever seen him have a bad game. He's so consistent.
Mr. Reliable, yeah.
Like, he's unbelievable. So, to be fair to Max, I think he's a top, top player, and he will get to the top.
So we're going to move into life outside of football. Again, as I said earlier, you've spoken like a seasoned pro, bro. Like, honestly, it's been so honest and transparent. But in terms of doing things outside of football, obviously, we've been in there. You've mentioned TikTok maybe like 20 times by now. So let's start with that. Like, what do you like getting up to?
Well, I think there's a lot of things, to be fair. Like I said before, TikTok is addictive now. Like, it's trapped me. I need to try and come
so
up.
What kind of content are you consuming on TikTok? Because I know that algorithm is powerful.
I don't want to know. I'm stuck in that hole. Over and out, I like playing golf. You know, I haven't played it in a while because of my knees, but I think this season I can start playing again now and get back into playing golf. I like going for food.
That's okay, what type of food?
Everything. What would my favourite be? I love Novikov.
Okay, yeah.
Novikov. I like trying new things, to be fair. Different restaurants. I'm quite a chill guy. You know?
Yeah, we can tell, man.
What's the restaurant that everyone's going
Bagatelle?
To?
Bagatelle? Is it Bagatelle?
Yeah. That's what you said. It's quite a party.
it's funny, we're speaking to like a footballer yesterday. And they just say, Bagatelle goes down. You look like a vibe.
Yeah, it's a vibe, too.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There's loads of places like that, you know. But I like doing everything. I like trying new things and experiencing new things. So whatever I can get myself up to, really.
So what about your Nigerian heritage? Because when you mentioned food, I was thinking, you know, jollof rice. And do you still pack Nigerian food? Or
to be fair, so Andrew, I'm a Bermudelli on my team.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
centre
back. Yeah,
his dad's Nigerian as well. So this must have been a couple of months ago. We said we want to try some Nigerian food because I haven't had it in so long. So we managed to find some shop in Norwich, and we had
Tanya.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Everything. So that was mad because I must have been like 7 or 8 since the last time I had Nigerian food. And just to try that, it was so nice, you know. So, but with my Nigerian heritage, I don't really, with my dad, I'm not in too much contact with my dad, so I don't know too much on that side, to be fair. But as I've got older, I want to see that side of Nigeria, and I want to go visit there.
So in terms of like players, I always ask in terms of investments, because football, very short career.
Mm.
You're earning good money. It's not going to last forever. Mm. We know that. So have you got any sort of plans in place to sort of protect what you're doing?
Yeah, I think it's gotten a lot better nowadays. I think you hear stories from people years ago, an ex-footballer has no money left and whatnot. But I think there's a lot of help. And I think when you're in the youth system, there's a lot of education to that. So I've got a few plans. You've got people that help you with that. I'm still really young.
Yeah, only so, 22 years. Probably a bit of a heavy question for now. But thing, it's but just to start thinking about it.
That's the thing. Yeah. No, you do have to. Even when I was 17, 18, you might not be earning as much money, but you still need to think. Every bit counts, you know. This money doesn't last forever. You might only have 10, 15 years of running this money, and you need to make the most of it. So I think even when you're a young age, you should really start thinking about what you're going to do with your money and try and put it somewhere where you can use it for after. Because even like me, for example, I got such a bad injury, I didn't know if I was going to have to stop playing football or not. And who knows if I might not have earned this money ever again. So you do need to think like that, because I've never thought of it that way. If I get injured at 21, 22, what the hell am I going to do after? I've never thought about that. So you do have to really think about what you're going to do with that.
Mm, so in terms of a message to the Norwich fans, because I know they're very supportive of you, they sort of say, Adam Eder, he's going to be our guy. Like, we've got stocks in him to, you know, over the next few years, be our main number nine. What would you say to those supporters that back you heavily?
Obviously, they're very grateful for that, you know. The fans do play a big part in a footballer's career, I think. There's a positive side and a negative side, I think. You can see, let's say, for example, when I said on Twitter, when I said, you go on Twitter and you see all the negative comments, you can also go on Twitter and see all the positive. I know people say you shouldn't look into it, but it does give you a bit of
encouragement.
Yeah, encouragement. Yeah. A bit of confidence that, look, what I'm doing on the pitch is I'm showcasing what I'm doing and people are enjoying it, and it makes you feel happy. But you don't want to look too much into it and get distracted in that hole, you know. So the fans can play a big part, and I'm very grateful for them to be supporting me and the club. So they've been great.
We have a closing tradition on this podcast where we ask, you know, the guest that's experienced the full TBG experience to recommend a potential new guest for us to have on this platform in football. So, putting you on the spot, if you had to suggest one guy in football, it could be a manager, it could be a coach, it could be a fellow player, it could be a teammate, who would you recommend for us to get onto this platform? Yeah. And we're putting pressure on you because we're going to be asking you.
Someone came to my head straight away. As for Rotherham, Idoza.
Oh, the striker, yeah. Ireland international as well.
I've grown up with him since I was really young. I live around the corner from him back home, but he'd be very good to talk to.
He's banging in the goals as well.
He's a top, top guy. He's a great guy. I think you'll love his story, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a wrap. You've been fantastic there, Jenny.
No, I just thank you very much. I think you've been very transparent and open. I know you watch the content as well, so you know the format and you know the show. A big supporter of it, so we thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you, I appreciate it.
Thank you. So we're going to leave it there. That's another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. Over and out. Peace.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.